Welcome to the Audible, everyone, presented by SiriusXM. I'm John Congemi, along with Sam Madison, former Dolphin cornerback, my partner in crime usually on post-game and pre-game, right? We get to talk about the Miami Dolphins, and it's a good week to talk about the Miami
Absolutely.
Dolphins this week, Sam. So let's start back where we started last Sunday with the Miami Dolphins 35-9 over the Denver Broncos. And I hadn't had a chance to really talk to you since the post game, but a lot of good things happening with the Miami Dolphins. It seemed like the defense finally was able to play with the lead, something that we haven't been able to talk about. Adam Gase has talked about that on a number of occasions. But I really thought the defense set the tone in that game and was able to get some confidence going, and the Miami Dolphins responded with 35 points, but a lot of it was set up, even set up or scored by the defense.
Something that we talked about was starting fast. Offensively, they started fast. Defensively, they started fast, and even in the special team category. So, you know, you look at this, this was a much-needed win. You know, when you look at the Denver Broncos a couple of years ago, they were in the Super Bowl. They still have majority of that same talent. So for our guys to go out there and play the way they did and to have the explosive plays, not really have the negative plays on a consistent basis that we've been seeing over the previous weeks, it just felt really good. And to do it at home in front of this home crowd, getting ready for a tough matchup on Monday night, this was something that I think that hopefully be able to interject some energy into the football team, especially in the fourth quarter of this season. When you talk about, you know, the at the beginning of the season, everybody really set their horns to this part of the season, being able to finish strong. Whether you're in position to get ready to, you know, have the number one seed or really have the opportunity to make that push, this was a great time, I think, for Miami to go out and display those big play capabilities. But to have that type of game, and it came from all different aspects. It came from the special teams.
That's right.
It came from the offense, and it came from the defense. Something that we saw late in the season last year, and I was happy to be able to see it again on Sunday.
Remember, fans, if you want to send your questions in via Facebook or Periscope, please do so. We got a question here from Black Man Game, Sam, right away, saying, do you think that the team has turned the corner from last week's win? I think it gives them confidence. I don't know if they turned the corner or not, but for me, it feels like if they can build – upon that win and make it carry over. Find a way to make it carry over where the defense is setting the table and the offense is coming through, especially against a team that's 10-2 like
You're
the
right.
New England Patriots.
And that's what you want to see. You want to see it carry over, but you want to see it carry over against a opponent that, you know, is one of the best in the league. I mean, when you look at the comparison and when you want to compare your team to opposing team, is you want to do it against the best. And right now, the team that's coming in, the New England Patriots, they've been the best for a
long
very
time.
Long time. And we're going to have opportunity to really see where we really compare with them. You know, coming into this season, we thought that we had opportunity to even compete with them to take over the division. But, you know, some negative plays here and some mishaps there, you know, we're in the situation that we're in, but we still have an opportunity to get back to where we were last year, and that's back in the playoff. But, you know, is it far-fetched? No. Are we right there at the brinks? Are we right there at the edge? Yes. But the bottom line is they have to win every last one of these games from here on out. They're
going
to travel to Kansas City.
No
it's
question.
Going to be cold. They got to travel to Buffalo.
Got to do it.
And then Buffalo will be back down here. And people ask, like, Sam, why these many AFC East games? This is the way that the NFL has set it up over the last couple of years, because once you get to the end of the season of lately, they wanted to see competitive games because guys were
games
sitting out there playing.
Right?
Guys that mean something.
Yeah.
And they're rivalry games. So they're going to go out there and they're going to fight hard week to week.
I want to talk about one of two young players that you should know a lot about, and that's that cornerback Xavien Howard. I thought that he was able to really get his hands on the football finally, get his hands on the football, not only bat it down, but he had five of those, by the way, but catch it and go the other way. And he was able to do that. And Duke Dennis asked the question, is that the big game that Xavien needed? Do you see him building on that performance?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I've talked about Xavien, and I really like, you know, the intangibles that he has. He's able to play press. Now you just have to believe that he can do it on a consistent basis. And, you know, to see him have a two-game two-interception game and take one to the house where he should have had
sweet.
A hat trick.
He should have
had
a
hat trick.
Let's not get greedy.
Yeah, but, you
we'll
know, I'm a defensive back. I've been in that position. So I'm definitely happy because since the beginning of the season, Xavier has been really, really close. He's been in position. Have they given up some plays? Yes, they have.
Yeah.
And we know that. But I think, like you're saying, this is that chance and the opportunity for them to take that extra step. You know, you see how you made the plays. You see the mistakes that the offense made, because the one that he intercepted and took it to the house, the ball was late.
Back hip.
And he was in position to make the tackle and get us off the football field, but he had the knack to catch the ball behind himself as well and take it to the house. So being in position over the last couple of weeks and having an opportunity to make a couple of plays, and you was this close and that far away from making big plays in the past, it felt really good. And I'm pretty sure he got one of those monkeys off his back and like, now let's see if he can build off that and sustain this for the rest of his career as a Miami Dolphin.
You know, Sam, it was also nice to see Kenyon Drake
be
the starter in the game from start to finish. Get over 20 touches, mm-hmm. 120 yards. Mm-hmm. I think he had 141 total yards. He had three catches in the game as well. So you're able to find a guy, another young guy, that was durable in that game. Now, I know it's not week to week that he's had to take that punishment. Mm-hmm. But that was a physical game for him. He was able to make people miss in the hole. He was able to use his vision and patience behind the line and then use that speed on the 42-yard touchdown to get into the end zone. So another young guy that maybe he uses that game to turn the corner over the last next month, you know, the four remaining games, to make himself be the starter for the Miami Dolphins, make him be a presence and let teams worry about his speed and tenacity as a running back for the Miami Dolphins.
I'm happy for that kid. You go back and you look at his career coming out of high school and then going to college, he was always the second fiddle guy. You know, he never really had opportunity to be that bell cow and really, you know, have the team on his shoulders. I mean, he displayed some really good talent on Sunday, and we see why and the reason why the Miami Dolphins selected this kid. I mean, you talked about it, John, had a linebacker in the hole. One of the things Coach Gase have been talking about is running backs pressing the hole, not being too quick, not being too late, just being right on time, and that's what we saw. We saw what Coach Gase wanted. He pressed the hole, linebacker in there, make the guy miss, and then use your God-given talent and use that speed. And we've seen it on the kickoff return before, but never really at the running back position. So for him to have that opportunity to be the first down, second down,
third down, right.
And even if we needed the situation, I believe Coach Gase was going to leave them out there on the fourth down so he can be that every down back, because we needed to see this. We needed to see, and Coach Gase really needed to see, can he handle the load? I think he did a phenomenal job. First of all, protecting the football. You know, many people was talking about, you know, holding the football and it hitting on the ground. When you're not the person, and we listen to running backs all the time, they need to get a lather. They need to get into a rhythm. You know, the two that he did put on the ground, guess what? He wasn't in a rhythm. He was spelling somebody, and then he had to think about special teams. Didn't have to worry about or think about all of that. The one thing that he had to worry about was being productive on the offensive side of the ball, and he definitely did that. And we saw him get into a rhythm. Like you said, 23 carries, 120 yards. You know, I think that was a phenomenal day, and he was able to catch the ball out of the
backfield. He was able to contribute in the passing game, and talking with him today, it just seemed like, you know, there was a lot more on his plate with pass protections and being in the right spot and being able to, you know, more formations, more plays that he has to learn in terms of, not that he didn't know those, but he wasn't asked to run them. You know, usually Damian would be in to run certain plays in the passing game, and he had the whole workload.
And so making those adjustments as well, you know, coming from the sideline, you usually standing behind the bench and you're listening like, okay, if I do go in there, this going to – no, the adjustments were made. You know, up front you may have a scheme that they're running, and you have to be on point, being able to help in the pass protection if the defensive line or the linebacker step. Being in tune throughout the course of the game, you know, I was happy for him to be able to see him be successful.
Yeah, it was. It was nice to see. And now we're going to get to see it on Monday night. The Dolphins won't play on Sunday. But if you join the Dolphins Cancer Challenge on Sunday for a family fest at Zoo Miami, it's $25 donation to the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. And it'll include zoo admission, a kids-friendly bike ride, food and beverage, and access into the festival. And you can help the Dolphins tackle cancer. So that's a good thing. And I know, Sam, you're going to be involved in that.
Yep.
Once we got the date right on your calendar, we freed your calendar up, we got the date right for you.
Yeah, we finally got it right.
But, you know, that's really cool. Because because the Dolphins do such a great job.
Yeah.
In conjunction, you know, with the cancer challenge and the Sylvester Comprehensive Center, to be able to raise money, and this is just another opportunity for the community to get involved.
Absolutely, and you know, we're getting ready for the bike ride. I'm already registered and ready to go for that. So, you know, I'm pretty sure they're taking more people on. So get registered, get signed up, come out and have fun and ride with us. But yeah, we'll be down there to the zoo. Hopefully I'll be able to bring the kids and they'll be able to enjoy the animals as well.
That's
but,
great.
You know, a great opportunity to be able to give back. Even if you don't ride, donate $25, you know, it will go a very long way. This is one of the biggest fundraisers for us in the history of sports right here, your Miami Dolphins. So it just feels really good to be a part of it and be given to a very good cause.
So that's on Sunday, Monday Night Football at Hard Rock Stadium. It's going to be one of those electric atmospheres. It'll be throwback uniforms. It'll be a lot of things to get excited about if you're a fan of the Miami Dolphins. And I think it's El Chapo. El Chapo, he's asked some pretty good questions along the way, the times that I've been able to be in here. But is it easier or harder to play a team twice in 3 weeks? Now, remember back a couple of weeks ago, week 12, I think it was, the Dolphins go up to Foxborough. They lose to New England 35-17. Mm-hmm. Is it a difficult thing, or is it something now that you want to be able to, you got to win, you've got some confidence, you've got New England on a Monday night. Is it harder or is it easier to play a team in that tight of a window?
I'm going to say easier, John, you know, because when you go and you look at the game plan for us the previous week, it seemed like the Patriots caught the Dolphins off guard with a couple of things that they threw. They threw some wrinkles out there. So, you know, in my mind,
how about that fake punt?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So we definitely will be prepared for one of those. We definitely will be prepared for anything on the kickoff return, because now we'll be looking for it, because it just told Coach Gase, Coach Belichick is not going to hold anything back. He doesn't care what your record is. It's all about putting stuff on film and making you have to think. But now I'm pretty sure from the defensive side of the ball and the offense, they threw some wrinkles at us. And we didn't catch those wrinkles right off the bat. We'll be prepared for those wrinkles. And we'll already be on top of the things coming into that first matchup to where we were prepared then. So they had a game so far after that. Maybe watching that film, try to pull something else or how they're going to try to attack it. But I'm going to say it's going to be easier, because you're going to be way more prepared this time because of the wrinkles that they threw at us the first time. So the guys are going to be in tune and ready to go and honed in. And the coaches don't really have to get them prepared for this. They'd had multiple times this year to be on primetime television and didn't come out and have a really good showing.
Right.
I think this is going to be the one they was like, okay, guys, they caught us off guard in the previous big-time games. Let's not get caught off guard on this one. And they're going to have a little bit more momentum going against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
Well, this is The Audible, presented by our friends at SiriusXM. I'm John Congemi, filling in for Kim Bocamper and Sam Madison along for the ride here. And Sam, another question. Who would you like to see, and this is from Tommy Cloggs, by the way, who would you like to see step up in the last four games? One guy for me on offense and one guy for me on defense. If it's for me on offense, I'd like to see Devontae Parker step up.
Gotcha.
I would like, if he's healthy, and the ball has got to find a guy like that, because at his best, he changes the way the Miami Dolphins play on offense. So for me on offense, it might be Devontae Parker. I don't know if that's the same for you or not. If you had an offensive guy, who would you like to see step up?
Hey, that's a really good one, you know, for us, Devontae, because the last couple of weeks, a little bit up and down. But, you know, still for me, in the middle of the football field, to give your quarterback that outlet. And we go and we talk about it every single week for offense getting ready to face our defense. The tight end has been killing us.
That's right.
They've been killing us week in and week out. Julius Thomas, I really want to see him be a dominant force. I want to see him with those, when he was in Denver, those 15 catch games and two touchdowns and, you know, just completely changing the dynamics of the defense and bringing everybody else. And then you'll see the guys on the outside in one-on-one matchups and being able to win that. But I still want to dominate the middle of the defense from my offensive side, and using the tight end, what better way? Get that matchup one-on-one and go out there and make those guys become one-dimensional or have to double him,
right,
and leave our guys on the outside one-on-one.
For me on defense, Sam, if I can carry that question over to the other side, it's not that he hasn't been doing a great job and doing his job, but when Cam Wake affects quarterbacks, mm-hmm, I think it changes the dynamic of a mm-hmm whole of the entire football game. If he hits home one time and he gets there clean and he's there with quickness, I think it affects the timing in the opponent's passing game, even if it's Tom Brady, especially if it's Tom Brady. Just remember all those days that Jason Taylor come flying around the corner and affected Tom Brady, right? And it affected the passing game. I think if Cam Wake hits home in the first quarter, if he can get to Tom Brady, I think that affects the way New England plays football. Because face it, they're 10-2. They're in the playoffs.
Right.
They don't want to get their future Hall of Famer hurt.
Correct.
And what for them is a meaningless football game, really,
yeah,
because it looks like if they're going to win 3 of the 4 or 2 of 4, if they go .500, they're going to be home pretty much throughout the playoffs, or mm-hmm have a chance to be. So for me, that I'd love to see Cam Wake not raise his game, but just affect the way the game is played early, because it might affect the other three quarters.
We talked about a couple of guys earlier. Xavier Howard, he's right, done a phenomenal job. Listen, when you look at Cordray Tankersley, you know, he's a young guy. He's still learning.
Right.
He's eventually going to get it. But in order for us to be successful, I really think this guy, he had a phenomenal game on Sunday. The last couple of weeks, he's been doing extremely well. Bobby McCain.
Yeah, he has been.
He has to continue the play that he had on Sunday. If he's able to continue the play on Sunday and man the middle of our football field, in covering the nickelback and blitzing off the edge and doing all those the little dirty works and the nuances, I think that we'll be pretty much set in that category, because he's really stepped up. At the beginning of the season, it was still a little rocky with him, getting up some plays here. But then toward the middle to the end, he's gotten a whole
solid
lot better. And if he can continue to be solid the way that he's been over the last couple of weeks, that is going to be one guy that I'm going to keep my eye on, because when he's out there and he's dancing around and he's shaking his hair,
right,
and having fun, the defense seems like they're having fun, because now you're able to utilize Rashard Jones, T.J. McDonald, and be able to cover up on the outside a little bit and let him man up. I saw a couple of plays where if they would have thrown the ball, he could have had another or opportunity to make other interceptions, but he's been playing well extremely the last couple of weeks, and I want to see him continue to build off this as well.
You're watching The Audible presented by SiriusXM. I'm John Congemi along with Sam Madison. And another question out there from Alan Sandoval is, how important is it for the Miami Dolphins to score first on their first drive and then come back out and stop New England maybe on their first drive? I think that gets, number one, the crowd into it.
Yep.
And number two, you're playing with the lead again for 2 weeks in a row, which is pretty good. That's a luxury the Miami Dolphins have not had for 95% of the season. And number three, it just gives you some confidence going into the game that, you know what, no Gronk, Rob Gronkowski out of the game for the New England Patriots, maybe a little bit more Rex Burkhead and a couple other guys to lean on the outside. But if you can affect the way the game is played in that first series,
mm-hmm,
it might give you some confidence early, get the crowd into it, maybe put some fear or strike some panic into the other side.
Alan, I'm going to go a little bit further. We have seen a couple of times this year where the offense comes out, they move the ball extremely well, we come back, get a three and out, and then everything went crazy from there. I want to be able to see that. Then I want to be able to see us turn the ball back over to the offense and they go and they do it again. And then the defense come back and get a three and out. That's telling me that we're in control of the football game from that standpoint. And now, for as the opposing offense, they have to press. And now, guess what? It gives you Cam Wake the opportunity,
right,
to get that
pin
engine turned
back
up,
yeah,
and pin his ears back and get after the quarterback. And from a secondary guy, for me, and now looking at these young guys, that means you have to pass the football. Instead of me having to play the run and the pass and be spot on every single play, no, you're behind. you have to throw the ball, and it's going to give me a better opportunity to turn the ball over, or it's third and long. Now we can flip the field a little bit more and keep the ball into our offense hand. Last week we were over 34 minutes in time possession, and it looked like we controlled the game
right.
the whole entire time. You know, we went up, 3-2 at one point, but four is us controlling the game and the clock. I thought it was really good, and just wanted to see them continue to build on.
Yeah, you want to be able to control the game, and that's the key, especially when you're playing such a dominant team as the New England Patriots. And I think one of the things, Sam, that the Miami Dolphins must do if they're going to win on Monday night is limit the penalties. Pre-snap penalties.
Yep.
You can't have – and there's a question from Courtney, New Jersey 11. Do you think we'll see more of McCain and Amendola getting into it because it's such a short time since they've played each other? If I'm Bobby McCain, I want a challenge. I want to be physical, but I do not want to get the first 15-yard penalty that gives a team that doesn't have any problems moving the football instant field position.
You got to be smart about it. I mean, Amendola, he is who he is. He's going to go out, and we saw Tom Brady and Josh on the sideline.
McDaniel.
Look, these guys, they come out, and they have the mentality of Bill Belichick. They want to win every single game, and they want to win every single play. Bobby's going to be challenged. He's going to be challenged because two things. This is one of the teams that throw the most passes 5 yards and under, so you're going to have to make some very crucial
and tackle in space, right?
And then you're going to have to be able to get off a block and also help if he's coming to block you.
Screen game. Right.
All of that's going to be important. So it's really to get you frustrated and really to get you in the situation where you are having those negative plays and helping the offense, and then they run in no hurry. If you can get into their head and get them into long yardage, now all the hurry up and the quick stuff, it goes out of the window, and now you have to be a conventional football team where you got to drop back, throw the ball 15 to 12 yards down the field, and then I think that will play in our hand because we got to Tom Brady last time we played him. We hit him more probably like 6 or 7 times, and I think Cam Wake and the rest of the defense
line, they found
an opportunity and see where they have opportunity to get to Tom Brady and get him off that spot.
Yeah, that would be great if that happened early in the football game because you get the crowd into it, the defense playing well, coming off a victory, holding Denver to 9 points. You feel like you've got some confidence on that side of the football. And offensively, you really want to see – and I still think the offense runs through Jarvis, to be honest with you. Kenny Stills has those big play chances down the field. But you're right. If you can get Parker going along, if you can get Thomas contributing, if Drake can hold his own, being able to be a pass catcher out of the backfield and run it like he did last week, I think the Dolphins are going to be in pretty good shape moving into the game.
I want to see those safeties back up early versus later in the game where they're backing up and they just sitting
protecting
over the
top. Lead.
And people look at their numbers, they're skewed, you know, because majority of the time they're in a comfortable position, they're in a lead. So now for the Patriots, what they're doing, they were like, it's bend but don't break. You can get as many yards as you want. We're going to keep it inside and in front, and we're going to tackle the ball carrier. But I want those guys to have to back up early. And if they back up early, now you can get Kenyon Drake in one-on-one with those linebackers. Now you can use Jarvis running the over and the crossing routes. And then, you know, if they're that far back, hit those comebacks. We've seen Kenny Stills push the defensive back off and make those guys come up and challenge. It's just one of those situations where, you know, everything's going to come down to what we just talked about. Getting off the field, 3 and out, moving down the field, putting points on the board, coming back, doing it again, and making the Patriots have to come out and play the way you want to play. Don't let them dictate.
Right.
You have to make them dictate.
Play complementary football, and I think that's what the Miami Dolphins did so well last week at home at Hard Rock Stadium against the Denver Broncos, winning 35-9. I want to thank our friends again for the Audible today presented by SiriusXM. And one more time, I want to remind you that you can join the Dolphins Cancer Challenge Sunday for a family fest at Zoo Miami. A $25 donation to Sylvester Comprehensive Center, a cancer center, will include zoo admission, a kids-friendly bike ride, food and beverage, and access into the festival. And you can help the Miami Dolphins tackle cancer, and that'll happen all day on Sunday. One last question before we let you go and we turn it over to Bo on Friday. Remember, he's out of town. He's on vacation again somewhere, Sam. I'm not sure where he's at. But
feet in the sand somewhere.
Definitely. one last question for you. Trevin McCoy wanted to know, what are your memories, or do you have some fond memories against the New England Patriots?
Yeah, I have a lot, man. I mean, it was some very tough battles. I remember, you know, in the old stadium, you know, winning that last game and having to go into the locker room, and the game wasn't over. You had to grab pants off the floor and put them back out for one play, you know. But it was some epic games, and they were fun. They were competitive, and you got to play till the when the clock – all the way until the clock says 0-0-0. That was one thing that we took away every single week. Don't leave anything on the field. Go out there and know you got to play to the end. So it's going to be that type of game, and it's going to be competitive, and you got to be ready to go.
Well, Sam, thanks for joining me today. Bo will be back on Friday. And got to thank Logan and Jeff and Trey coming in at the last
awesome
minute
job.
Trying to get his name mentioned.
Yeah,
Trey, got to thank him for really doing nothing.
Absolutely
nothing. I don't think he did anything today. And Leon, how about this? I got to share this
with
everybody,
we got to
so you can share it on Friday. Leon actually came in to eat lunch and then he left.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't lift. Logan and I and Jeff said
it. I saw it. I saw it when I pulled up, man. You guys were going in there getting
just
the mic.
Just want to let Bo know if
Leon,
he's out there traveling the earth, you know, who to thank on Friday.
Absolutely.
That'll do it for Sam Madison. I'm John Congemi. Join the Audible again on Friday.